Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. It is Tuesday. It's noon on the East Coast, and that means it's time for another session with Dr. Vicki. She's one of our favorite guests. We talk to Dr. Vicki a lot. She does these special series of broadcasts with us periodically throughout the year, and she's a fountain of information. Her name is, again, everybody calls her Dr. Vicki. Technically, she's Dr. Victoria Monlock. She has more than 35 years of experience in private practice, much of that focused on wellness. She blends traditional medicine with alternative health modalities to help people stay out of the hospital, avoid select medications with scary side effects, and to feel more vital and youthful. And who wouldn't want that? That's really the goal I think everybody should have. She also emphasizes lifestyle changes for optimal health, and she's made quite a name for herself in the field of hormone balancing. That's a subject many other practitioners kind of pass on, mainly because they don't know a whole lot about it. And it's an area of health management that affects many other aspects of disease, particularly as you get older. And if you've heard Dr. Monlock, you know what I'm talking about. She's written two books on the subject. One of them, which I have in my hand here, Full Bloom, it's called. It deals with perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, and beyond, and is best described as health and happiness through hormone balancing. It really is the owner's manual for enhancing the best years of your life if you're a woman. We've referred to the book quite frequently and read stuff from the book. It's really great. Interestingly, most of our conversations deal with hormones, but it's always been, for the most part, from the female point of view, from the woman's point of view. Today, we're going to do something different. We're going to focus on hormone balancing from the male strife point of view, and that is different. I'm intrigued by hearing this because I know I'm going to always learn when we talk to Dr. Vicki. Dr. Vicki is based out in Waukesha, Wisconsin, where it's a lovely day today. So, Dr. Vicki, welcome. Hi, nice to have you back with us. How are you today?
I'm marvelous. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Well, look, I'm just talking from the heart. It's absolutely true. And we are going to talk about, you know, guys, and I'm a guy, know nothing about hormones. I mean, the only thing you ever hear about with a man is testosterone. Either, you know, it's low, you don't have enough testosterone, you need it. We don't know what else hormones do to our bodies. So talk to me a little bit about hormone changes from the male point of view. I know that you did mention that, told us a great story about your husband being treated for low testosterone and how it impacted his blood pressure and other areas of his health. But let's talk about it a little bit. How important are hormones to men? How about that?
Well, you know, thank you. Yes, my husband is doing very well, and I think I'm the only one who ever brought the topic up to him. It took him a while to warm up to it because most guys just think of hormone as something that is performance in the bedroom, but it's so much more than that. Just like we talk the four legs of a hormone chair for foundational health for women, it's the four legs of a chair for foundational health for men as well. And it's testosterone, total and free, which the free testosterone is your bioavailable testosterone, guys. And it depends if you're really, really stressing your system, you'll have a very, very, very low free testosterone, but you'll wear down your total testosterone to a point where you're making so little, or you may drop your total testosterone so low that you're overcompensating to look like you're making enough free testosterone. So that means you have to look at both the ratio of both and compare it to what your cortisol, the second leg of your chair, your thyroid, the third leg of your chair, and your insulin blood sugar, the fourth leg of your chair, are doing. So those four important hormone groups are just as important for guys as they are for women.
Well, you know, last week when we were talking about hormones, I referred to your book, and you have a list in your book of what you call hormone symptoms worksheet, the various things that hormones have an impact on in the female body. And it's a long, long list, and we went through it. You know, it means, you know, things from short-term memory loss, difficulty concentrating, insomnia, dry eyes, migraines and headaches, deep fatigue, muscle spasm, restless legs, urinary urgency and frequency, increased emotionality and moodiness, increased crying, depression. The list goes on and on. It must be 30 things on this list, if not more. Is the same in effect for a man? The hormones affect that many things for a man, or is it only women that
you
it's
are
that serious?
So you are so astute to make that comparison, because that's exactly right. Now, women are going to have a little bit more in the bladder territory just because of our anatomy and the fact that we bear children and have much more strain and stress to a urinary tract system. But guys also have bladder issues that arise from too low of testosterone. And the thing that really comes out, and again, emotionality, poor sleep, muscle, joint issues, they get more hair loss. And again, you may say, well, that could be stress or thyroid, but it also can be low T. And the biggest symptom that I would actually see guys come in with was actually fatigue. And they would come in, not just fatigue, oh, I get tired. It was that bone-chilling fatigue that they would drag themselves to work. They would fall asleep at their job. They would get home, sit on the couch to watch the news, and be shook by their wife. Hey, it's time for dinner, you lazy whatever. And they couldn't even get their energy, you know, enough to make it to the kitchen table. When they did, they kind of muddled through dinner and then fell asleep on the couch again. So they literally were sleeping their way through their day. Then they would sleep all through the night. So some of these guys were stating they'd sleep 10 hours at night, wake up exhausted, go to work, fall asleep several times during the day, again in the evening, and they felt like they were sleeping 16 hours a day. None of it quality sleep, of course, but that's going to affect your job performance. That's going to affect your ability to exercise. You're going to start gaining weight. All of a sudden, you've got other things that are going to start to creep in and happen, and those will be identified as the reason. Oh, now I see an elevated blood sugar. Well, your fatigue must be that you're becoming diabetic. Change your diet, whatever, whatever. But unless you also check testosterone, you can change your diet, exercise, and not much is going to change. So you have to check your testosterone levels too. And I have examples from anywhere from the 30s all the way through guys in their 80s. And just like women, they'll present with slightly different symptoms that bother them more, but it's mostly that their wives or their girlfriends are going, hey, this hormone stuff worked for me. She can do this for you too, is how the guys started coming in.
Well, you keep mentioning testosterone. Are there other hormones that you know, that guys have to be concerned about?
Well, the precursor of testosterone is something called DHEA. And that's something that is over-the-counter. It's a dihydroepiandrosterone. And you go, well, gesundheit, that's a mouthful. But the capital letters, all capital of DHEA, is that precursor. But what a lot of people really don't know is that testosterone and estradiol are very closely linked. And that's both in women and in men as part of that whole steroid metabolism that the body works itself through. And that production in the body of testosterone, if there isn't enough, then it will actually sometimes impact the estradiol level too. And so some guys with low T will actually start to have a low estradiol level. That sounds weird, but the level may actually be higher in percentile than the testosterone percentile is, and they'll start to grow man boobs.
Well, how about hair loss? Is that something connected with hormones?
Absolutely. And we all hear about male pattern hair loss, where you start receding, you know, your hair line, and you start getting that bald spot at the cap of your head. A lot of that can be hereditary, but then again, is it really low T that is hereditary? Isn't that an interesting concept? So, but we do know, right, we do know that if you have thinning hair on top of your head, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have thinning hair on your face. That's very, you know, different. It's testosterone mediated, but it is a much more notable hair loss on the top of your head than it is in other parts of your body.
You know, it's funny. I went to a meeting about 3 weeks ago, and I would say there were mostly men, probably 50 men in the room with some women scattered about. I walked in late, so I was in the very back of the room. And while I was watching the speaker and listening to the speaker as she addressed the group, I was scanning around, and I started counting men with bald spots on the top of their head.
Mm-hmm.
35 mm-hmm. out of the 50 had the bald spot on top of their head. I was stunned by that. It's amazing. It's like an epidemic. And do you think most of that has something to do with their hormones? They could correct that if they had their hormone correctly balanced, maybe?
Well, I'm going to say yes to that, because there are specific hair care product lines like Monat, M-O-N-A-T, that specifically help decrease the dehydroepitestosterone in the production of hair, and it strangulates the hair follicle, that if you can actually open up, decrease that dehydroepitestosterone in a scalp, and you can actually de-strangulate a hair follicle, you can stimulate hair growth all by using the right shampoo, which is pretty wild if you think about it. So it's not always about what is your blood serum testosterone, or more importantly, the ratio of total to free testosterone, and what is your free testosterone. Is it, number one, age appropriate, or is it actually too low for where you are? And are you therefore having too much dehydroepitestosterone happening in your skin, your scalp, that strangulates your hair? And can you work with it locally, as well as can you work with it internally? There is even a theory, and I've seen salons work with this. Remember, we had the whole collagen discussion back in June, that if you can support hair follicles with good collagen and have the right shampoo, hair care products that will de-strangulate hair follicles, you can actually even faster stimulate regrowth of hair. Fascinating idea. And that's not even using any kind of a really expensive process to do hair implants or anything like that.
Yeah. You know, you have talked about with us a lot about case studies for women that you've gone through and studied, and you have a lot of case studies in your book, Full Bloom. What about a case study of the history of a male patient you've worked with? Anyone in particular pop into your mind?
Oh, I've got a couple. Yeah, I've got a couple that I'll highlight, and they come from each, you know, decade. So, you know, here's an example of a guy in his 30s. Remember I talked about fatigue being that one symptom that will drive somebody in? Well,
right.
At age 38, he and his best friend were talking. I see both wives, and it turned out that they both were suffering from that sit down at the end of the day, fall asleep, and they just can't seem to get anything done at home. And one guy had trouble with infertility and the other one didn't. And so they were even contemplating going through the whole in vitro thing and doing concentrating of his sperm because he wasn't making enough. And his wife said, well, why don't you just go to see my doc? You know, well, rah, 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 rah. So in his, I'll say about 32 when he first came in, we did his levels, and they were that of an 80-year-old man. There is age appropriateness for where testosterone should be. And instead of measuring where he should be at about an 80th percentile, he was actually at about a 20th percentile. It was just remarkable. And he looked at me and he goes, is that why I can't make enough sperm? I said, well, that could be a major reason, but let's look at other things. His thyroid was good. His stress level was through the roof. We brought his stress level down with the right methylated B vitamins. We started working on getting testosterone into him as a topical cream, which, you know, you can adjust that on a daily basis. We would check levels every 6 weeks. And we repeated his semen analysis, and his numbers were going up. Well, interestingly, after about 8 months, he came in with this smirk on his face, and he goes, well, Doc, I just got to tell you, whatever you're doing, we're going the right direction because we're pregnant.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
well, good for him.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry. I got to shut
the alarm just went off. Yeah. All right. We'll set it off.
I've got to turn it off. Oh my goodness! It goes off all by itself. So I've got to unplug it here.
Go right
radio
ahead.
Thing that my husband.
That does happen occasionally.
It didn't even work.
But can you get it off? Go ahead. Try.
Oh my goodness.
Don't worry.
Well,
I'll vamp while you go do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna walk
just,
outside because
want,
this is just
go
awful.
Go right ahead. I'll tell everybody about Full
yeah.
Bloom, especially for women. If you haven't gotten this book, seriously, we refer to it so often when we talk to Dr. Monlock. It's an amazing book with full information on, especially on hormones, and there are all kinds of case studies in here of women at different ages and what they're experiencing and what Dr. Monlock learned by treating them and how she treated them. It's the kind of book that literally you could learn something about yourself that would be extremely valuable. And the praise for the book has been overwhelming. It's called The Owner's Manual for Enhancing the Best of Years of Your Life. That's really what it's about. It's not called that. It's called Full Bloom, Health and Happiness Through Hormone Balancing. And it's by our guest, Victoria J. Monlock, M.D., Dr. Monlock book is available on Amazon. You know, everything's available there. But you can find this in Barnes & Noble and all major bookstores all over the country. It's a terrific book for women. Now, we'll ask Dr. Monlock if this would be any help for men. I doubt that. This is really, you know, geared for women to read so they can learn about their own body and get a grasp and an understanding of what really is going on with them from the symptoms they're experiencing and how many different things they're experiencing are all related to hormones. And as Dr. Monlock has pointed out numerous times, most doctors in medical school do not get enough training in the subject of hormones. It's something they kind of skimp on. I don't know why, because it can have so much an effect, you know, on your body and how you react to things. But, you know, that's the way it is these days. So if you go to your normal doctor, the regular doctor you go to, and you ask him about things involving hormones, he may not be able to help you a whole lot. And Dr. Monlock also has a great section in the book instructing you on how to talk to your doctor, which is, you know, it can be very beneficial, especially if you're feeling some kinds of things wrong with your body and you don't know what it is and you hope the doctor can help you, he or she can help you. It's a guide on how to talk to your doctor, especially about how to get into the subject of hormones. So it's a worthwhile book. The other book she wrote is really on teenagers becoming a woman. It's a great book for a mother to have in order to help teach her daughter, her teenage daughter, what it's like. Actually, you start before teen, probably around, you know, 10 or 11 years old, to guide your daughter into becoming a woman. And these are things that a lot of women really don't know about. They don't have instructions on it, and they really don't know what to say that's always appropriate. So that book would be extremely beneficial for mothers of young girls. So I'll just point that out. Dr. Monlock has gone to turn off the alarm, fire alarm or whatever it was.
I got it.
burglar alarm. Which alarm was it?
Oh, it's some alarm on this radio system that my husband has, and he's an electrical engineer, so I can't even explain what it is. But anyway.
All right. Well, listen, in the time we have relating, let me ask you about, you know, I've referred to the hormone symptom worksheet for women you had that I mentioned a bunch of things on. Is there such a thing as a hormone worksheet for men who come to you?
Absolutely.
Obviously, I know they don't have
Absolutely.
Ovaries.
Absolutely.
But they do have, you know, hormones. Tell me about that.
Well, your symptoms worksheet is the identical symptoms that women have. It's just that men will tend to have an emphasis on certain of the symptoms more than women would have. And so they're going to have much more in the fatigue and in the muscular area. And they're going to have a lot more, actually, in the sleep, in the abnormal sleep category, than and hair loss than what most women will have. But the GI side of this with GERD, one of my lower 50s GI symptoms, and he thought that it was his gastroenterologist couldn't any kind of help to him with just medication, and in fact he was getting worse. So we managed checking his hormones and managing his testosterone, and he was able to stop all of his GERD medication, which just absolutely blew his mind. Yet I've got somebody in their 80s, believe it or not, in their 80s, and his testosterone level allowed him to be able to pick his golf clubs back up, and he now has a handicap of 4.
Whoa. Wow.
Exactly.
I want to point out something. You have a nice sound effect. You must be out in your garden right now, because I can hear birds chirping.
I stepped outside.
I thought the birds were around me, but no, they're not. They were out in your yard, so good for you. Sounds beautiful. I know you're in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Is it a lovely day today in Waukesha?
It is. We're in the lower 70s, humidity in the 40s, and so it's just glorious, absolutely glorious. So, and the birds think so as well.
Well, it's a great sound effect. You know, I have a question to ask. You referred, when you were talking last week, you were talking about hormones. You mentioned something about hormones having an effect on for women who were having belly fat, you know, right around the waistline. Am I right on that? I seem to...
Absolutely. Yep. Yep.
Does the same thing affect men?
Yes, it does. And so if you can actually get the right age-appropriate amount of testosterone in you, you will actually decrease your belly fat. Now, it's not just testosterone, realize that it's what the effect is going to be with your insulin and your blood sugar. Realize that it has something to do with whether or not you're exercising. And if you're sleeping more, you may be, you know, doing more comfort food. So there's no one thing that could be the culprit. But if a low testosterone can be raised, giving you more energy, giving you a better ability to exercise, be more efficient with your sleep, with a better, you know, sleep cycle, you're going to overall raise your cellular metabolism, and your body is not going to gain weight in its belly. It's actually going to slim down, and your body's going to act younger. Isn't that what we all want?
No kidding. Yeah, the search for youth. Absolutely. Another subject. You noticed a trend of 30-somethings who aren't having babies because of stress-related hormone balance. Tell me a little bit about that. We have a couple of minutes left.
That was my, remember, that was my patient that I mentioned. They came in with infertility, and it wasn't on her part, which is what most infertility specialists think. They check the woman first. It was on his part. It was his system. In balance, came in, and he's so
having some problems with your phone. You're fading out, Dr. Monlock. So I guess that's because you're outside with the birds right now. But if you can keep going, do me a favor, repeat that answer a little bit. We have I'll give you one and a half minutes to go, and hopefully you'll stay connected with us because we didn't hear the full answer about the stress-related hormone imbalance.
Right, because with his stress and his cortisol being so elevated, if you don't have the energy to be able to do exercise, you may be doing not just less exercise, but you may be comfort eating, and your blood sugar and your insulin may be going up. And so realize it's not simply a low T issue. It also may be something that it's low T impacting your insulin, which may therefore be affecting your thyroid, which may be therefore affecting how all of your hormonal foundational legs of your chair are working or not working. And if you're stressed and his cortisol was through the roof, then you've got to address every aspect of those four hormone groups, or you're going to be in trouble, because just putting testosterone in alone won't be the answer.
Well, I did say that a lot of doctors don't know a lot about hormones. You do know, and you talk to patients and people all over the country. Dr. Monlock has an excellent website. It's Victoria J. Monlock, MD.com, VictoriaJMonlockMD.com. If you go to that website, you'll find out how to get in touch with Dr. Monlock if you're interested, and you'll learn about her books. By the way, Dr. Monlock, I mentioned Full Bloom. I forgot the title of the book you wrote for mothers to give their daughters who are, you know, about to become women. What's the name of that book again?
Blossoming.
Blossoming.
Blossoming, Becoming a Woman. Yes.
Great book. Great book for moms. And fathers, I guess. Might be a little embarrassing, but a father to give her daughter, you know, his daughter. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. This has been very interesting. I'm glad you got the alarm turned off, Dr. Monlock. But the birds sound really pleasant. Okay. We'll see you back again next week, next Tuesday at noon Eastern Time, for another conversation with Dr. Monlock. Thank you very much, Dr. Vicki. All right. Have a great week.
Thank you.
Okay?
You too.
You're very, very welcome. That's it, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time. Till then, take care and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
We sure do. I'm Doug Llewellyn, and that's it for now, everybody. Bye. Take care. Be good. Bye.